Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry on this glorious Easter morning. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. If you would like a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, please listen at the close of our program for ordering information. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to return again next Sunday for worship with us.
Lord Jesus, our victorious Savior and King, we thank you for your glorious resurrection that brings to us the promise of life everlasting. Father, we pray that as we begin this worship service, we may give glory to you for the thought that all things have been cared for if we will but trust in you. So help us not only to review the Easter message, but grant that the power of that great truth may so grab our hearts that we may understand that though we may die, yet we shall live. And all of this because of what Christ has done for us. Bless us to that end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ. Six of our seven grandchildren have made at least one trip out of the United States during their college years. This was recommended highly as a part of their education, saying that a contact with the outside world would be broadening and give them a new concept of what it is to live outside of the United States. When I have visited with them about these experiences abroad, it is evident that the goal has been accomplished. Their eyes have been opened that not all of the world's population enjoys the blessings that we have, but they also believe that there are a few things in this world that we could learn from them, and these would enrich our lifestyle. Now, if traveling broadens our lifestyle, if traveling gives us a new understanding of what it is to live in this world and not just in one part of it, I'd like to take that thought and move to the glorious message of the resurrection. Now, I would like to emphasize on this Easter Sunday that looking at our future through the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives the Christian an eternal dimension to life. That's the core of the sermon. I would like to remind you that the resurrection of Jesus gives to the Christian an eternal dimension to life. Life without the promise of eternal life limits our days to a few years on planet Earth. Science has increased our longevity, for which we are thankful, but ultimately we will all die. On a visit to my home many years ago, my father and aunt asked if I would go with them to visit my uncle who was dying. I was a very young pastor, and I appreciated the opportunity to go. I did, and we had an enjoyable visit until it was time for us to leave. And I asked my uncle if I could read him a few verses from the New Testament. Firmly, but kindly, he replied by saying that he had lived now for 80 years, and now it would soon be over, and he would return to the dust. So he didn't care to have the Bible read to him. I then said to him, do you not believe the message of the Bible at all? And he replied, and he was a man who had done some reading, that would be a stupid thing to say that I don't believe in any parts of the Bible. I believe in those parts that deal with our morals and our ethics. I believe, for example, in the Golden Rule. But nothing that deals with this so-called salvation that you talk about and that you would like to read to me is in my thinking at all. I am a follower of Ingersoll, which meant he was an atheist. And so again, it was very, very clear that this man felt with great conviction that when he died, his body would return to the dust, much like that of an animal. As we drove away from the nursing home, there were three heavy hearts. I could hear my aunt in the back seat crying. Dad was just quiet, for it is an awful thing to hear a brother and an uncle say that he rejects the truth of the eternal life which can come in Jesus Christ and his resurrection alone. To watch people go into eternity with no faith is a humbling, humbling thought. We may sometimes make light of it because of our nervousness, but think of it, friend. It is a message, the Easter message, that gives us a whole new understanding of the future. Travel can broaden our view of the world, but faith alone in the risen Christ can give us a whole new look into eternity. That's the Easter message. Now here in the Word of God, all four of our Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record parts of Jesus' resurrection. So what I'm going to do is basically put Luke 24:1-12 as the basis of the sermon, but the others are very much the same. The detail is that it was early on the third day, and the women had gotten up and had their spices. They were going out to anoint the body of the Lord. They loved him. But as they walked along, they thought, we've got a practical problem. There's a stone there at the tomb that locks the tomb. How will it be rolled away? Matthew tells us how it was rolled away. For when the ladies got there, the tomb was open. There had been a violent earthquake, and an angel had come and rolled away the stone. Well, as they walked in, there was no body. It had gone. And two men stood there. Some say that they were angels. They asked, "You seek Jesus? Why do you seek him among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And it turned around and they said, "Don't you remember that he told you the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" Then they remembered his words, and they went to the disciples to tell them a message that would change their life completely. They remembered what he had said. Now it had actually taken place, and changes in the lives of the disciples and the early church was true from that day on. For we'll see in these Sundays after Easter how he appears to them, how he ate with them, how he talked to them, how he forgave them, and how he admonished them. This is the risen Lord. They were to stay around Jerusalem for a few days, and on the 40th day, he took them by revelation outside of the city, and there he was lifted up in front of their eyes. That was the ascension. But with the ascension, he also had told them that they were to go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now then, they started on their way. And I'd like to give you from the scriptures, because that shows how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ was, a bit of what Peter had gone through. You will recall that Peter had been chosen by God to go out and proclaim the gospel to the Jewish people. Now, he was also in contact with the Gentiles, and when he had an opportunity to speak to them, it was certainly the right thing for him to announce that Jesus Christ was the crucified Savior, the Messiah of the world, and the risen Lord. He was going into an area where the city of Caesarea was, a prominent city of that day. And there he went to the home of a man by the name of Cornelius. There he spent some days, and finally he got a message from some men who had come up from Cornelius's office, really his host. And they said to him, "Cornelius has received a revelation that you are here, and go and bring you back to Cornelius's home. For Cornelius is a God-fearing, righteous man, and he wants to know more about this Christ." Well, Peter was hard-pressed. He was a missionary to the Jews. And while he knew the gospel was for all people, Jesus had said that clearly on the day of ascension, now he was actually to do it in a public way. But he thought, "I must go." And here he comes in to Cornelius' house. There were a group of people who were invited. You find this recorded in the 10th chapter The book of Acts, beginning with verse 34. Let me read it to you. This is one of the first Easter sermons recorded. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. Now John anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. He ate with them, and he drank with them, after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. In other words, the day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of their sin. Now, interesting, isn't it? He tells them the story of the crucifixion. He tells them that he has been crucified because of our sins, as a payment for our sin. And then on the third day, he was raised by the Father. And through that resurrection, he has won victory over sin, death, and the devil. In other words, that gift of salvation that my uncle was not interested in, and many other people are not interested in today, that gospel of salvation is tied to the resurrection. And when one accepts that, and there is something about this message that creates its own power, and the person is gripped, things begin to happen. Now, some mocked it, but others believed. And it was a great time in Caesarea's, when Peter proclaimed that message. And those who were in Cornelius' house rejoiced, for the Holy Spirit had empowered within them the belief that Jesus Christ was their resurrected Lord, and they were going to live forever. That's the Easter message that the Christians are to proclaim. It is a message that Peter gave. It's a very simple message. And so this day, known to us in the church as Easter, we can deal with this subject. There are three ways, I believe, that we can react to this message. The millions of people today who, in passing, if not in church, there may be millions of them who say, well, it's a nice day to go to church, but really, I don't believe it. Or those who don't come near the church may say, I just don't believe that. That my uncle was probably voicing what they had said, which we thought was so terrible, and was. He could take Jesus' golden rule, but he could not take this announcement that he would be raised from the dead and there would gain victory over sin, death, and the devil. That is the unbeliever. And yet, when you and I do not know what is before us in our eternity, there is bound to be some unrest. Isn't it interesting to note how in our day, as in every day, when the people have had what that particular time said was more than enough, they still were looking for something else. I can remember that as a kid. We had everything that we needed, but there was still something else that we wanted, that striving for that which would make our lives complete. That striving to make our lives complete could never be fulfilled, conquered by material things. It could come only when somebody would say, look, you're not just here for a few years and then that's the end. After you die, you are going to live. And if you will live in Jesus Christ while you are here, then you will live with him in eternity after these days are over. And so I speak to those of you who believe that there is nothing after death, that you simply will return to the dust. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe there's no difference between you and that little dog who roams around in your house after you have spent your days here? God doesn't want you to. He's got more for you than that. The other is that a person says, no, I don't want to go that far, but I don't quite understand this. It is so out of thought, out of reason, that I can only say, well, it sounds awfully good, and if it's true, I believe it. But I don't know for sure if it is true that Jesus Christ has died for my sins, and that's enough as far as God is concerned. And I don't believe that the resurrection simply conquers all sin, death, and the devil. But I hope. But you live with uncertainty, don't you? There's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be someone who will take you by the hands and will say to you, oh yes, I love you. And Jesus Christ loves you too. Come and receive him. What a great day it would be if your hope could be turned into certainty, and you could say, with Job of old, the third reaction, I know that my Redeemer lives. And after he has died, the body has returned to the dust, then without flesh, I will see God. And I will have a new body and a new earth. And I will live with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. My opening illustration was negative, but my closing remarks are positive. Think of what God has to offer us if we will but turn to the cross and know that there our sins are paid for, and then that we will look to the empty tomb and realize that there we have life everlasting. What a glorious day. Have a blessed Easter. And you will have, if you can say from your heart that has been captured by this message of the gospel, I know that my Redeemer liveth, because it has stood written in the scriptures. Amen.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives, who once was dead. He lives, my everlasting head. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives, who once was dead. He lives, my everlasting head.
Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, grant that this Easter message may enter our whole being and change our lives. Help us to realize that it is one thing for us to leave our country for a while and go and see how other people live. We'll never be the same. But more than that, help us to understand that if we see eternity, life after death, through the eyes of Jesus Christ, then our whole matter of thinking about time is changed too. Lord, we thank you that you give us hope, that there is a promise of everlasting life. And so in a very special way, we pray for those who are sick and for whom death draws near. May this be their comfort when human words fail. I know that my Redeemer lives, and after I have died, I will see him face to face. The message of Easter. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We wish all of you a very blessed Easter Sunday and pray that today's message has filled you with the joy of the resurrection. As we celebrate the Lord's victory over sin, death, and the devil, we are reminded of how important it is for those who are homebound to be able to worship. Christian Crusaders provides that service for many who are unable to attend church. As a nonprofit ministry, we depend upon the gifts of our listeners in order to pay for our broadcast costs. If you are able, please consider making a contribution to our ministry. Direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are extremely grateful for all who have offered their prayerful and financial support. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly preview of upcoming programs, which you can receive via email or read online. To receive this e-newsletter, call or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. For a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also visit us on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. Please direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth each and every Sunday for the past 75 years.